Do you celebrate the Christmas holiday? It is Christmas Eve. Bah! Humbug. And no, just kidding. I have one small family event tonight, and that's going to be it for my Christmas celebration. Hi, my name is Randy, and I will be your host for this, my 88th episode of Infotainment. I will be your round mound of podcast sound. Pound for pound, the best podcast around. This is the last stop podcast shop on your internet dial. The first thing I'm going to do is read something in English, and then I will be translating it into a language that is well known by those who are Star Trek fans, and for those that know every little minutia about the Klingon language. There are people that will check probably my pronunciation, but I will give it my best shot. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to one and all. For those that can speak Klingon, and there are people who do, that's not included, Klingon as a second language. May you die with honor and go to heaven. Now, here is my best interpretation of that. In the Klingon language,
Mas Hrostas Nagon Vodle Koch Edge Dish Chu Batlavaj Waje Hut No La Klinging Hull Chadich J Jatla Chuck Butler Hig Edge Charles Ho.
One word gave me a little trouble.
Tolingon.
I wasn't sure what word that, but there is on the internet a translation from English to Klingon. I might try that again sometime. Pretty humorous. And for those of you who know every little minutia about Star Trek, every show, every little detail, and there are people who do, and tell me how I did in pronunciation of that, what I said. Let me try it again.
Mas Hrostas Nagon Vodle Koch Edge Dish Chu Botlavajaj Waje Hut No La Tulling Gan Ho Cha Delt Ste Jatler Chuck Butler Higgins Edge Chow So!
Exclamation point.
Chuck O. Infotainment. Kapla. Ta. Batla. Nerchi.
And that was loosely translated. Success to infotainment. May it go on with honor and dignity. I'm sure if I was in the Klingon courtroom, I would be sent to Rurapente with no possibility of reprieve or parole. Sent to the penal asteroid. For speaking Klingon so badly. Now I'm going to try my hand at a little of the Vulcan language for you Star Trek fans. And as you guess, what the biggest thing I could translate in the Vulcan thing, here's what I'm going to say in Vulcan, or in English first, and then in Vulcan. Live long and prosper, which you probably guessed. Peace and long life. May I mind meld with you. Infinite diversity creates infinite combinations. I'm not sure if I got that exactly right, but we will try this. And now, in Vulcan.
Diftor he smoothma socha e dif. Sos kausek nav ke du. Vik unaya velik tor vik terish.
That's my poor translation of English to Vulcan. Maybe I'll try something, type something in here and try it again. Now I will speak the Vulcan words first. Listen to the name I mention. It does not translate. And then I will give you what I said in English. Damn, who can us les moonves nari giving yell halan enterprise stay cook stay ka tevin yanak. Let me read that again. Damn, who can us les moonves nari giving yell halan enterprise stay ka tevin yanak. And that was translated from English to Vulcan. What I said in English was, damn the bastard Les Moonves for not giving Star Trek Enterprise 7 seasons. For your Enterprise fans, that should play well. I should have read that last statement in Klingon instead of Vulcan. It was most illogical. Patak. Les Moonves, or Les Moonves, patah. But I hope you enjoyed those. My translation of English into Vulcan and Klingon. I apologize for some of my Klingon inflection getting into my Vulcan. Most all of that, or all of that, should have been read a little more calmly. With the holiday season upon us, most of us remember the holiday movie Home Alone, starring Macaulay Culkin. And now I guess we learn from, Seth Rogen didn't know this. I guess after seeing the movie, I didn't know or didn't really care. But you remember the gangster movie that Macaulay was listening to while trying to foil the bumbling burglars? One starring... now I can't think of his name, Joe Pesci. And it blows people's minds. Keep the change, you filthy animal. Let's take a listen to it.
Who is it?
It's me, Snakes. I got the stuff.
Leave it on the doorstep and get the hell out of here.
All right, Johnny. But what about my money?
What money?
AC said you had some dough for me.
That a fact. How much do I owe you?
AC said 10%.
Too bad AC ain't in charge no more.
What do you mean?
He's upstairs taking a bath. He'll call you when he gets out. Hey, I tell you what I'm gonna give you, Snakes. I'm gonna give you to the count of 10 to get your ugly, yellow, no good keister off my property before I pump your guts full of lead.
All right, Johnny, I'm sorry. I'm going.
1, 2, 10. Keep the change, you filthy animal.
Yes, keep the change, you filthy animal. It is a line that Seth Rogen was shocked to learn that is only recited in Home Alone and not some 1940s gangster flick, which Kevin McAllister watches when left to his own devices. That's because Angels with Filthy Souls was conceptualized and filmed purely for the beloved holiday classic. The knocked-up actor, 36, shared his revelation with the Twitterverse on Christmas Eve, writing, "My entire childhood, I thought the old-timey movie that Kevin watches in Home Alone, Angels with Filthy Souls, was actually an old movie." And because the short film, it was filmed entirely for that movie, and it lasts about a minute and a half, was so well produced, many of Rogan's celebrity friends, were surprised by the news. According to Fair, the violent noir movie, which McCulkin's character indulges in without the oversight of his parents, and later uses to scare Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern's Wet Bandits, took a day to shoot using a set with only two walls. Initial iterations of the script called it the gangster film. In fact, it only got a name because the VHS that Kevin pops in needed a label. The title was a reference to the very real Angels with 30 Faces from 1938. So now you know the rest of the story. Well, let's take a little break from all the holiday spirit stories and talk about fast food. And it says here, Wendy's brings back fast food's greatest burger. Every morning on cue, our email inboxes are filled with pitches from well-meaning publicists hoping to receive editorial coverage from your friendly takeout writers. Many of those pitches are about deals and promotions happening at chain restaurants. Almost always we pass on those because A, we don't want to be corporate stenographers. B, if we include one, where does it stop? But sometimes those deals cross the threshold into newsworthiness, and today we'd like to inform you about one, if only because we feel involves what is fast food's greatest burger. 1 year ago, I wrote an elegy to Wendy's giant junior bacon cheeseburger. Elegy because it was only around for 6 weeks in 2017 before being discontinued. And it was, for the reasons listed in that piece, my favorite under $5 burger. An excerpt from the piece about the original Junior Bacon Cheeseburger and why, as tasty as it was, felt off slightly. There are several layers of crunch in the original Junior Bacon Cheeseburger imparted by the lettuce and bacon, which makes this not texturally monotone like the vast majority of chain burgers. Secondly, beneath the beef and cheese, I've always enjoyed the straightforwardness of the secondary flavors, that of bacon and mayonnaise, in other burgers. I'm a fan of the counterpoint bite that pickles, relish, and mustard provide, but I love that the JBC is void of those qualities, opting instead for a simple profile, more savory, smoky, and rich. But that has always kept the JBC from being a perfect fast food burger. Comes down to its component ratio, the buns. I've always found it steamier than usual texture, appealing, is out of proportion to the scant sliver of beef patty provided. It is slightly too bready, too bun-reliant. The giant JBC solved that by increasing the proteins, thereby achieving the ideal sandwich balance. I have heard on other podcasts that if you get fast food over in Europe, it tastes a ton better than anything in the U.S., and which probably is right. If the internet is so much faster over there, why shouldn't everything else be? Takeout readers would later inform me that I could still hack the burger just by asking for double patty, double bacon, double cheese, but I could never bring myself to say those words aloud at the drive-through window. I suppose ordering anything with the word giant in its name also chips away at your dignity. You know what my favorite burger was from Wendy's? Was the bacon mushroom melt and a biggie fry and a frosty. I wish they'd bring that burger back. We used to have a Wendy's here in town, but no longer. Burger King and McDonald's have a surefire hold on this town. We might get a Culver's, which is kind of predominant in the upper Midwest. Many of you probably haven't heard of it. They have what is called a butter burger. But this week, I received an email from a Wendy's spokesperson who said that the giant junior bacon cheeseburger was back temporarily, at least through the new year, and that it would be part of a promotion that includes a sandwich, small fries, small drink, and 4 pieces of chicken nuggets for $5. Not quite the 4 for $4 deal. now prevalent in fast food. Ultimately, we're breaking from our editorial norm to tell you about this deal because, well, we think it's a hell of a deal for a hell of a sandwich. And very soon the burger will be but a distant memory. Ah, but the bacon mushroom melt, man, that was better than sliced bread. Now let's move on from the world of fast food burgers to the world of housework. There are some things I don't like about housework, like dishes, vacuuming, cleaning the bathroom, cleaning up the bedroom, making the bed, just a few things. You know what the worst thing is, though? One of the worst things is for somebody who has to do it by themselves is put on one of those effing fitted sheets. I mean, it says if it's supposed to be for whatever size bed, and they're supposed to be fitted for that size bed, they should be able to get all four corners on there without trying to pry it up with a crowbar or something like that. But trying to do that yourself sucks. I've tried those snaps underneath. Maybe a woman or another guy can tell you, oh, just do it this way. But I can get, like, tonight I was trying to do that because I was doing some laundry. And I got three sides on there, and then the fourth side came way up short. I said, well, screw this. I'll just put a flat sheet on it. That's one of them. But that is, what do they call them, fitted sheets? They don't fit nothing. Now, if that's all you got to be mad about, I guess you're leading a good life. And what was the other thing I was going to talk about? Well, I might save this podcast and post it once I get my Rodecaster Pro mixer and tell you when I start it so you can compare. This audio is USB out of a Blue Yeti Pro straight into my computer, and I do compression, equalization, normalization all myself with Audacity. And this is supposed to be the big game changer for the podcaster, so we shall see. And that's coming in Wednesday, so that'll be fun to tinker with and hopefully have on my co-host sometimes, CJ, back on to test out the Bluetooth Skype option or the phone option. So it'll be interesting. I've watched some videos on it, and a lot of people are snapping that thing up, even though it's not multi-track recording. Now I'm testing my Rodecaster Pro mixer to see how it sounds with the default settings from the factory. That sounded pretty good. Now I'm trying it with the oral exciter. Oh, there's my phone going off. Guess I better stop that. Now I'm trying it with just the big bottom selected and the oral exciter turned off. Everything else is turned on. Compressor, de-esser, ducking, high pass filter, noise gate. And they said in one of the tutorials to pick the soft setting for your voice. So if you move around too much, it would do something that wouldn't sound good if you didn't select that. As far as the noise gating, I have been strictly USB straight into the computer. This is my first experience with XLR. And I have a cold, too, so maybe the big bottom will even sound sexier. Yeah, I sound so sexy, don't I? My tribute to Phoebe and friends. Smelly cat, what are they feeding you? Oh, brother, I hate myself. Okay, I'm going to try some of these other voice settings here to see how I sound. Now, I've been using tone as deep voice,
And the strength is soft. Now I'm going to try the soft tone and medium voice. So this is a soft tone and medium voice. I was wondering how that sounds. So I will check that out. This is the soft voice with the soft strength with the high voice. Let's see how that sounds with the high voice and the soft strength. Now let's go to the deep voice tone and medium strength. This is a deep voice tone with the medium strength to see how that sounds. And let's see. Deep voice and tone and the strength strong. Deep voice and strong. That's what I have it set to now. Let's try the tone and high voice and soft. This is a high voice and tone and the strength is soft. This is a high voice and medium. High voice and medium. Let's see how that sounds. And I'll change that now. Now it is high voice and strong. I'm going to check those out to see which ones I sound the best in. I won't be testing a lot of different mics on the Rodecaster Pro because basically I don't have any others with an XLR input. USB on the other one, and maybe eventually I will delve into some other brands of mics besides the Blue Yeti Pro. And I don't, at this time, I'm not using the SD card because I'm just recording it into Audacity. And maybe eventually if I take it on location, that will be a useful function as long as there is power available to the device. And let me run through the sound effects here. Here we have the intro and outro. I set them to latch, and you do that with the software that you download. Change how you can stop and play your sound effects and stuff like that. Well, that's how that sounds. I might use that for my outro today, since I haven't changed that in a long time. My outro was purchased copyright free from Google Play Music. Let's try the other one here. I will be using that one when I record my stand-up routine for Patreon, and that should be interesting. Well, actually, it'll be a sit-down thing, I was going to say some things, but that's for that show. Let's try this sound effect. Yeah, that will be my intro to the Acme Comedy Company after a long absence. And now you'll hear the train noise that's ever present here. Let's try this one. Hopefully I'll get none of that during that stand-up thing. And I decided to stick with the deep voice and strong. For the most part, I could not differentiate between the settings all that much. Maybe a little hair here and there, but with this cold, it's kind of not a fair deal because I got a pretty rough voice right now. There we go. Got that. And we got the scary tone. And next one. And the crickets. There we go. I thought I had them all set to latch. I think I do. We got to go through and set them all individually to latch function so you can stop them when you want to. Let's see, the last one, factory preset sound effect. Now let me try. I got some neat ones on some apps I got through my phone. Let's try this one.
Awesome!
That's pretty high on that. I got the media volume up as high as it'll go on my phone. And it's fairly high in the slider bar. What else have we got here? That's a useful one for some of my stories. Oh, here we go. Here's one of my favorites.
Bomb tickle wow wow.
So that is kind of my first impressions of the Rodecaster Pro Production Studio Mixer. I wish it had been around when I first started. And I really like it already. It has helped me in the area of I don't have to worry as much with the audio processing and post editing. But I still have to do some noise reduction. There was one, before I bought this mic, there was one negative review of it saying that the Blue Yeti picks up too much background noise. And he was running it through the PreSonus Studio 192 or whatever audio interface. He did not like the Blue Yeti Pro. I like it, but it does pick up background noise. I'm not eating the mic, but I try to stick pretty close to it and not vary my head motions very much. Unfortunately, I have to record near my kitchen and with the refrigerator running and some noise from outside. I keep my windows shut and curtain closed and try to reduce my noise level as much as I can, but it's still going to require some noise reduction. But as far as compression and all that other stuff, normalization and equalization, I think the effects is great. I really like the big bottom. The one review said that the oral exciter made it too shrill. I did try that, and I kind of agree with that, so I'm not using the oral exciter. Even with that on in the big bottom, I've always just wanted to sound as much like a professional FM DJ. Sounding quality to my voice, where it was easily understandable, and people didn't have to ride the volume of my podcast very much, if at all, which is one of the big complaints. And one other thing about the mic, I do know I'm not the most technical as far as knowing every in and out of audio processing. I did not know about Unity gain. I still have to look that up sometime. I've never heard Unity and gain used together before. So, but at least with my mic, I got it on a mic stand because the Blue Yeti Pro has a very sturdy mic stand, but it's way too low for me anyway. And there was one video out there that the guy was complaining that he was using a Blue Yeti and he was tipping it forward. And I do know that it is a side address microphone. You do not talk into the top of it. So, but this looks like a great little machine here, and hopefully you get a lot of good use out of it. But right now my body is telling me that it's not feeling too hot, so hopefully I will find some more items to discuss tomorrow and post it to the interwebs. Well, folks, this is totally designed for the male members of my listening audience. Have you ever felt a little testy below the waist? This came across my Twitter feed, and It is manscaped.com. Number one in men's below-the-waist grooming. I didn't know there was a website devoted to this, but there is. When manscaping, always use the right tools for the job. A precision trim. Proper manscaping requires precision engineered tools. Not only does a man's sensitive areas require it, but both hygiene and ergonomics demand it. And first up, we have a trimmer. It's called the Lawnmower 2.0. Now, I don't know if I want anything down in that area called the lawnmower. It is an electric trimmer worthy of getting up close and personal with your family jewels. Designed and made specifically for below-the-waist grooming. It's the right tool for the job. SkinSafe technology protects you from accidental nicks. And let's see. You can get 6,000 strokes per minute on a charge. 60 minutes on one charge. It's all rechargeable. And they also got one for a smooth, safe shave. Carefully, it's called the Plow. Now, there's another one I don't know if I want down there in my most sensitive region. Carefully sized to shave any area and perfectly weighted for effortless and safe use. This premium safety razor helps prevent skin irritation and razor bumps. Designed to cut hair at skin level, its built-in guard and single blade minimize tugging, pulling, nicks, and cuts. And it is for coarse and curly hair. I could have guessed the curly hair. Prevents razor bumps. Avoids tugs and pulls. Sized and weighted for easy use. But then, also, you can cleanse, moisturize, and deodorize. From end to end, Manscaped skincare products are infused with natural ingredients to soothe the skin on the most delicate parts and help prevent itching and irritation. You got the crop cleanser. That is a hair and body wash featuring ingredients like soothing aloe, sea salt, natural hydrators. This refreshing all-in-one cleanser is perfect for pre and post trimming as well as daily showering. We got the Crop Reviver Soothing and Hydrating Toner. This spray-on body toner is designed especially for highly sensitive and high friction areas of the body. It features soothing aloe and witch hazel extracts for anti-inflammatory, anti-burn protection. And we all have the most interesting one of it. I didn't know that. Well, I guess this is a good idea. We got the Crop Preserver. We got the anti-chafing ball deodorant. Now, I've never used my deodorant down there. let's see. It is designed specifically for a man's most sensitive region. Yes, that is an area of a man that was meant to be treated nicely. This oil-free moisturizing deodorant creates an anti-chafing barrier that reduces bacterial growth to provide all-day freshness below the waist. They do have a video that it's pretty funny. They show this guy with his sweatpants pulled open at the top, and he's dumping a whole load of powder down there. And the guy goes, "What the hell is this man doing?" And let's see. Well, we got some, looks like there's some reviews of it that are popping up here. I'm so happy that someone, I love manscaping men. They're I keep switching. I can't get a read on all that. I'm so happy that someone has invented something that evens the playing field with personal grooming. That's from Mary. I love Manscaped Men. They are clean looking. It says a lot about who a man is and what he's capable of. This stuff goes by very rapidly. Let's see. Now they got a survey here. 85% of women think bad grooming is a major turnoff. Maybe it is time to get the lawnmower. 80% of women think men should manscape below the belt. Independent study. The 85% was from Dr. Drew. I have no idea who Dr. Drew is. And 89% of men think good grooming is essential to their professional success. Yeah, if you go into a job interview with a stinky beanbag, I guess that could be a problem. That's from the Business Wire. Oh, you can get a New Year's special gift. Get a complete complimentary toiletry bag, a $39.99 value, with the purchase of our Perfect Package 2.0. A premium quality bag to handily store all your Manscaped products between grooming sessions. And, wow, I don't know who named this stuff, but the lawnmower, the plow, crop preserver, crop reviver, magic mat. A set of three disposable shaving mats. I guess I don't know what that is exactly. The Lawnmower 2, it has a 6,000 RPM motor that can handle coarse and curly hair without tugs and pulls. It is rust-resistant, hygienic, replaceable ceramic blade module featuring skin-safe technologies that prevent for nicks, cuts, and snags. And what do we... Oh, you can get boxers here, too. Oh, this thing keeps switching on me. You can also get a grooming kit with clippers and underwear made to complement your manscaping efforts. Boy. Yeah, all you wanted to know about manscaping, go to manscaped.com. If you feel your beanbag needs a little help down there with chafing and hygiene. But check that site out. If you have a new girlfriend that you think you might get past the third date and do whatever, you might consider going to this site. And maybe she will be very pleased. Well, I think it's time to bail on this episode of Infotainment. I'd like to thank you and you, and especially you, for downloading or playing it. You can contact me at randyms12@gmail.com. You can tweet my Twitters at randypodcaster. And what else? You can visit my Facebook page and all the rest. Here's hoping you have a pleasant day and a wonderful evening. In the words of the immortal Jerry Springer, be good to yourself and each other. And we will talk to you next time. Bye-bye, folks.